We're going through the book of Mark, and we're almost done. We went ahead to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in the context of time as we celebrated Easter and went to look at the resurrection. And so there was one text that we have not covered, and that is Mark chapter 13. The life of the Lord Jesus is recorded in four Gospels. Matthew presents him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He worked for the king, represented by a lion, the king of the beast. Number two, Mark presents the Lord Jesus as a servant, as the oxen are serving. Luke was a doctor. He presents the Lord Jesus as the perfect man. John presents him as God who comes down, represented by the eagles that comes down to the earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark, text in Mark chapter 13 is where we are this morning. He presents the Lord Jesus as a servant. We've been going through the text in Mark chapter 13, and there's several things I want to just very quickly bring those of you who might be new with us up to date. Number one, I think we have in the heart of every one of us a desire for things to get better and better and better, not things to get worse and worse and worse. Amen? I mean, that's our desire. But Isaiah 10, Jeremiah 30, Daniel 12, Zechariah 13 says that the end times are not going to get better and better, but they are going to get worse and worse. Our Savior is in the last week of His life. He's been in Jerusalem. Old city of Jerusalem. He has left. On Sunday, he enters in. Probably St. Thomas's Gate or Lion's Gate right alongside there. He enters in, and that is called Passover. The Sunday before Passover is called Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry. Monday, he cleanses the temple and he curses the fig tree. Tuesday is known as Teaching Tuesday. In our text, there is a question asked and then the answer is given in verses 5 through the end of the chapter. It is the longest answer to any question asked in the New Testament. And the question was raised because Jesus is leaving. He's going to be just two more days and he will be crucified. Three more days and he will be in the grave. And he wants his guys to know what's coming in the future. And so this is called prophecy. This is apocalyptic things to come. The Lord Jesus goes out, goes down the Kidron Valley, goes up the Mount of Olives on his way to Bethany, where he'll spend Tuesday night, Bethage, the house of figs. And he stops halfway up on the Mount of Olives. This text is called the Olivet Discourse because the Lord Jesus is on the Mount of Olives. The Olivet Discourse. It is about things to come. Let me very quickly review with you a simple chart of things to come. This chart of things to come begins with our Savior dying on the cross. That ushered in a period of time that we know of as the church age, which has lasted 2,000 years. But it is going to end. One word. 1 Thessalonians says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the Lord. Meet them in the air. Caught up is the word we get rapture from. So it is the rapture of the church. Say it. Rapture. The rapture of the church. You and I, gone. We will have the joy of marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be brought before what is called the Bema. Say that one. The Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ for rewards.
Now, on earth is a different story. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, trouble, bad news. Are you glad you're going to be gone? First half's not too bad. But boy, right here, there's going to be a revealing of the Antichrist. People begin to worship him. The temple is going to be rebuilt during this time. And during this last 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to have a lot of freedom. And there's going to be many who will follow him. It's going to end with a great battle in the Valley of Megiddo. What is the battle called? The Battle of Armageddon. And that will usher in this time period known as 1,000-year reign with Christ. And what is the word we call it? It is called the millennium. I want to focus today on this time period here, 7 years. And I'm going to really focus on this time period of 1,260 days, known as the Great Tribulation. Altogether tribulation, but the last 3.5 years, Great Tribulation. Jesus has left Jerusalem for the last time. Over the Kidron Valley, up to the Mount of Olives, on his way to Bethany, he says, you know, guys, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be gone. I want you to know what's ahead. In our text, in review, what we've already covered, one of the first things Jesus told them was the temple you're looking at is going to be destroyed. We covered that 2 weeks ago. And the temple will be destroyed, and they couldn't understand that. By the way, now this is very important. 40 years later, after Jesus said it will be destroyed, Titus, the Roman general, just burnt down Jerusalem. Jesus said not only will it be destroyed, but notice the verse. He said that there's not going to be left one stone. The heat from the fire melted the gold that went down between the stone foundation. They had to dig up the stone foundation to get to the gold, and there was not left one stone standing upon another. So what Jesus prophesied only 40 years forward did take place. Do you understand that, beloved? Historically, we can look back, and what Jesus said would happen, happened. Do you understand that? Jesus said it would, and it did. Now, there is going to be a mixture of things that are going to happen in the coming days that Jesus is going to go jump far ahead and talk about. For instance, notice the next slide, verse 3. As he sat there, James and Peter and Andrew, who were brothers, and James and John, who were brothers, said, "When is this going to? What's it going to be like?" Verse 4, which is all review. What is it going to be like? Verse 5. He said, number 1, don't be deceived. Notice the text, please. Verse 6, don't be deceived. It's going to be false Christ. One, the temple is going to be destroyed. It was. It says also in the future, there's going to be false Christ. And beloved, we see an increase of false messiahs. And each one of these that come forward are going to increase in number and increase in intensity. Notice the next one, please. Jesus said, as you move through, the next verse, please. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. 161 declared wars at this moment. There's going to be nations rise against nations. Next verse, please. That is going to continue to increase with kingdoms against kingdoms. Next, there's going to be earthquakes. That comes to our mind because of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. One that took place just 2 weeks ago in southern Mexico. The great one, the greatest one ever to take place was in Chile. It's near Santiago, Chile. We can go on and on. In the last 40 years, the number of major earthquakes has doubled in number. San Francisco to Los Angeles is sitting on a fault line. It is only a matter of time before a great one hits the United States. Next one. There's going to be famines and troubles. Our text says, though, but they're only the beginnings of sorrows. The Greek word, the New Testament written in Greek there for that is, it's the birth pangs. There's going to be a new birth or a new start that's going to come after this. This is only the beginnings. Verse 14, the next verse, persecutions are going to increase. So we studied that last week. Next verse, verse 10. There's going to be two evangelists that are going to preach, go out prophetically. There's going to be 144,000 evangelists, carrier of the good news, who are going to go to every tribe and every tongue and preach the gospel. And people are going to get saved during the tribulation period. Do you understand that? 144,000 evangelists, gifted evangelists. They're going to be published among all nations. That, beloved, listen. Jesus is telling something that has not taken place even yet in our day. Because there's a lot of areas today that have not heard the gospel. Do you understand that? There are many who have not heard the gospel. Many tongues and nationalities that have never heard the gospel. But during the tribulation period, that they will. The next one, verse 11. A lot of people are going to be betrayed. We covered this last week. And it's going to be only the Holy Spirit that gives us words to say. We concluded last week with this. The next one, verse 12. It's got a lot of betrayals, even parents and children, children and parents, brothers and sisters going to be betraying one another during the tribulation period simply to stay alive. To stay alive. Verse 13, hatred is going to continue to increase. I saw a bumper sticker Friday that said, stamp out hatred. It's a desire of all of our hearts that there wouldn't be hatred. But it's going to get worse during the tribulation period. Verse 14, here's where we concluded on our last time together. With our salvation and the importance of making sure that we put our faith and our trust in Christ. Now, here's where we begin today with verse 14. Jesus is saying there is coming a day that's going to be what is called, it's going to start with the abomination of desolation. First of all, the word abomination means something that is really bad is going to take place, and it's going to cause where it takes place to be desolated. Do you see that in those two words, yes or no? Something abominations, that's an abomination means that's really bad. It's ugly. It's nasty. You understand that? Abomination. And it's going to cause it, where it takes place to be deserted, desolate. Do you understand? Yes or no? Jesus is saying there's an abomination that's going to desolate a particular place. Now stop with me for a moment. He says, Daniel speaks about an abomination of desolation. Daniel the prophet. Daniel lived many years before the Lord Jesus. Daniel prophesied four times. He speaks about an abomination of desolation. Daniel lived way before the time of Christ. Before by the way, which nation ruled the world during the time of Christ? Everyone together. The nation before Rome was the Greek nation. Really conquered by Alexander the Great. And then his generals split it up into four. During that time before Christ, way after Daniel, before Christ, there was an abomination of desolation where a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, say his last name, Antiochus, the word Epiphany means to reveal. And so he considered himself God revealed. In fact, he said, I am an incarnation of Zeus, a Greek mythical god. He ruled Palestine or Israel or the area of Jerusalem. And he said, I am going to stamp out Judaism. And so what he did was he had his soldiers bring in a pig. Jewish people are kosher. They don't eat meat from a pig. Brought in the pig, had the pig sacrificed, gave the pig meat, made the priest eat it or die. And then he set up a statue of Zeus, because he said, I am Zeus in the flesh, in the temple. And no Jewish person would go in it. Well, because a pig had been slaughtered there. Do you follow me? Because there was an idol of Zeus in the temple. And so, this all happened before Christ. Daniel speaks of it. But Jesus says, in the future, there's going to be another person who goes into the temple and is set up and is wants to be worshipped, and true believers are going to desert the place. It's going to be so bad, it's called the abomination, and it's going to desolate, it's going to empty out the temple. Folks, Daniel said it would happen in the future. Something like that happened 163 years before Christ. Now Jesus is saying, you know what, guys? I want you to know there's another abomination of desolation coming in the future. Are you with me? Let me give you a hint when it's going to take place. The tribulation period. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Can you find it? For those of you who are starting to sleep, it's right after 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is talking about things that come to the church at Thessalonica. And in his second book, beginning of verse 2, he says, look, the coming of Jesus is at hand. Verse 3. Anybody find 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 yet? Anybody find it? Go ahead, good. Verse 3. But let no man deceive you. When that day comes, there's going to be a real falling away, apostasy. The man of sin, the Antichrist, is going to be revealed. Verse 4. He's going to oppose. He's going to exalt himself above all that is called God in his worship. In fact, he's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so we find 2 Thessalonians speaking of that exact thing that Jesus said is going to come in the future. Now, I would like to read Revelation 13, word for word, verse by verse, but I can't because of time. It just is not going to work. I want you to go home and I want you to read Revelation 13 of the story that during the tribulation period, Jesus is going to set the Antichrist is going to set himself up in a rebuilt temple to be worshipped. By the way, do you know that the temple is going to be rebuilt? Yes or no? What is there now? The Dome of the Rock over where Abraham offered up Isaac. But one day, whether by earthquake or by God's just almighty hand, that is going to be gone like that. And there is a time period, up to 3.5 years, the Jews are going to rebuild the temple. I wrote my thesis on the rebuilding of the temple. Will it be real or not? By the way, I've been in Israel 14 times or something like that. Walked down the street and saw a place called the Temple Mount Foundation. Went inside. They have finished the golden lampstand to hold the oil to light the temple. when I was there in one of the times, they'd finished the cornerstone for the temple. If you go with me, I'll take you to the folks at the Temple Mount Foundation. They have all the utensils to be used in the sacrifice finished. They are the ones who were behind the preparation of a pure red heifer that was killed, cow that was killed. The ashes are now preserved, ready to be used in the cleansing or starting the temple worship again. And I could go on and on. Years ago, I met a very, very old rabbi, originally from Brooklyn, and he made the temple garments in more than one size for the Messiah to wear when he worships in the temple. Are you following me? The temple will be rebuilt during those first 3.5 years. And the Antichrist is going to make a abomination of desolation at the 3.5 year mark. And when that takes place, the Antichrist is now in control for 3.5 years. Listen to what Jesus says. Number one, if you're in Jerusalem on tour, head to the mountains. If you live in Jerusalem, when the tribulation period is halfway through, the temple is rebuilt, and the Antichrist sets himself up for worship, make sure that you head to the hills. Flee! The word flee there in the original language is the word for be a fugitive. Get out of town. Get out of Jerusalem. Do you know where most believing Jews feel? Look at this picture. Anybody know what that is? Petra. And that is a good illustration of a huge city built in the red rocks, built in the rocks, Petra. And head to the hills. Because the trouble, Jacob's trouble, the last half of the tribulation period is going to be so terrible, you certainly don't want to be there. By the way, Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 through 9 says that 2/3 of every Jew is going to die at this time. Verse 15. The next verse. If you were up on top of the house that's flat, a flat roof, with an outside stairway, in the evening enjoying the breezes, and the Antichrist, you hear on your television set that the Antichrist is now being worshipped downtown in the temple. Don't even go into your house to grab anything to pack. Just get out of there, because the terrible, terrible time that is going to take place immediately after the Antichrist sets himself up. And so don't pack anything. Just get out. There's no time to waste. Don't waste a minute. Verse 16. Jesus says, if you're out working in the fig field, if you're out working in your grape harbor, don't even go back, even though you'd think you would want your coat. Don't do it. Just head to the mountains. Jesus warns, he says, when this time comes, guys, make sure you just get out of town. There's not a question about what to do. The next one, verse 17. Here is an expression of pity. For he says, and oh, I feel sorry for them that are going to be pregnant or are nursing. Because of caring for that child, you may not get out of town soon enough. And I want to remind you that Jesus had heard certainly about what happened to the children when he was born, when King Herod, through the influence of Satan, killed all those little boys when Jesus was born. Do you remember that story? Folks, do you remember how the boys, little boys, were killed? And Joseph and Mary got Jesus to go out of town to the city of, to the country of Egypt. So Jesus knows that. It was not uncommon for people to kill those who they wanted to exterminate by jamming a sword into a pregnant mother, or to take a young child and bash their head against the rock. And so Jesus warns, verse 18, and make sure that you pray. Don't forget this. I'm going to come back to this when we close. And don't forget to pray that your fugitive time, your flight, will not be in the winter. Because inclement weather could slow you down. And so you do not want the streams, the wadis, to be overflowing. You don't want any ice or snow on the streets. What the Lord Jesus is doing here is saying, when the Antichrist sets up his throne, he sets up his place of worship during the tribulation period, anyone who is alive needs to quickly run for shelter, hide, and get away. Can you imagine those who during that time try to do it on Saturday? And just as during the days of Jesus, the religious rulers would stone someone who would work on Saturday for breaking the Sabbath. And so Matthew even includes that as in Matthew's story of this text. Verse 19. Here is a very important thought. Those days, those last 3.5 years of tribulation, are the greatest that man has ever faced since creation. It's the greatest since creation, since God has created this world. And there's never been a time like it, and there never will be another time like these last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so it is called, the Greek word, tribulation, that is great, last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. During the Holocaust, there was what? Over 6 million Jews died. Some say that Stalin killed over 20 million people himself. But beloved, none of those can be compared to what the tribulation period is going to be like. As revealed in the book of Revelation, for instance, there are three ways illustrated that God is going to bring judgment on the earth in the book of Revelation. For instance, chapter 6, it is like opening an envelope that is sealed, and you open it and you see inside what's taking place. And he says, number one, there's a cold war. Number two, there is a massive war. Number three, there is famine. Number four, there is death. Number five, there's martyrdom. And then there's physical disturbances on the universe. For instance, there's earthquakes. Sun refuses to shine. The moon will be like blood. Stars will fall from the sky. The heavens are going to roll back. Some scientists say that's a perfect description of an atomic bomb as it rolls back the sky like a scroll. And so all of those take place at the beginning of this last 3.5 years of tribulation. But the seventh seal, when you open that envelope, you look in there, there are seven trumpets that blow. And so you read that story in Revelation chapter 8. And when the first one blows, the first trumpet, Revelation 8, 7, one third of every tree and grass on this earth is destroyed. It's going to get hard to find good food. Second trumpet, one third of the sea, all and everything that's in it, and one third of the ships that are on it are going to be destroyed. When the third trumpet sounds, one third of all fresh water is going to be destroyed or polluted. When the fourth trumpet sounds, one third of the light from the sun, the moon, and the stars will be dimmed or taken away. When the fifth trumpet sounds, men are going to be so tormented, that they want to die and they cannot. When the sixth trumpet sounds, 1/4 of people have already died. 1/3 of all that are living are going to die. 1/3 of the population of the world. And then the seventh trumpet sounds, and when the seventh trumpet sounds, there are seven bowls of judgment that come down upon the earth. After all that they've been through in this 3.5-year period, the period comes down to close with men having huge, massive sores that will just cause them to emotionally not be able to deal with them. Those are still living. The second bowl is that every creature in the sea dies. So there's no fish for food. The fourth bowl. The heat becomes so strong that people are literally burnt up, burnt to death. This is all in chapter 16 of Revelation. There's a darkness with the fifth seal where people gnaw their tongue because of the intensity of the darkness. Again, some say that this is a nuclear war. The sixth one, listen carefully, the sixth bowl, the Euphrates River dries up and a 200 million army, the only nation of the world that has an army that size is China, marches and prepares for battle against Israel. The seventh bowl, there is a great earthquake where the mountains are flattened and the tsunami causes all of the islands to disappear. And on the earth, 100-pound hailstorms pound the earth during this tribulation period. All of God's judgment on the heart of man who has been so rebellious. It is so bad. Verse 20. Jesus is sitting there and telling these guys about this. Except Jehovah shortened those days. Now listen, listen, beloved, listen. Daniel says there are going to be 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years, Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelation. He cannot shorten the number of days. So you look up the word, wonder what this means, shorten those days. The word shorten is he's going to graciously cut off the time, stop what is taking place in his graciousness and his mercy. There is one other thought that entered my mind because he goes on and he says, again, shorten the days. I want to remind you that the sun, the moon, the stars has become affected tremendously, altered, and so the amount of light may be reduced. But the Greek word there, kolobo, means to stop immediately. So God in his graciousness says, enough! And he stops it immediately. And it is for the sake of the chosen one, the elect, that God does this. So God cares for his people enough that he says, that's all, no more. And so you say, are there people going to get saved during the tribulation period? Yes. There's 144,000 Jewish evangelists out preaching the gospel. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes around the world. People are going to get saved. There's going to be a redeemed remnant. They're going to be called God's divinely chosen ones. They're the elect. Verse 21. But he warns them. Now, I want to remind you that these people have lost family. These people have lost all their possessions. They have survived now towards the end of this last 3.5-year period. Sometime during that time, they're saved. Beloved, you lose all your possessions and you lose your family and you lose your health. You're going to be very vulnerable to someone to come on the scene and try and get you out of your mess. And so Jesus says, when that time comes, you're going to have people come along and say, look, I am a Messiah. But don't believe him. Don't believe him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 22. There'll be a lot of these false messiahs, false prophets. In fact, now look up here. See the word signs here? Today we have some who put a big emphasis on what's called signs and wonders. The Greek word for signs there is going to do things to draw attention to himself. And people are going to go, wow, wow. That causes me to wonder. Now, here's one of the most important truths in our text today.